This is the Media Report. I'm Richard Addy. Charles Dickens was perhaps the finest novelist in the English language, but if you look at his total output, the novels are just a tiny fraction. And his biographer, Claire Tomalin, is very clear on why he's such a fascinating subject.
Here was this boy who'd had almost no education, leaving school at 15 to be pretty well an office boy in a law firm. And 9 years later, he was famous, and I always think that's absolutely extraordinary.
He was determined, wasn't he?
He learnt shorthand. I mean, it's quite very specific, actually. He learnt shorthand and became a reporter. And he was learning London, and he was walking around London. He'd been doing that since he was quite young, and observing. And he had these extraordinary powers of observation. And he began in the very early 30s to write down some pieces, to write little accounts of things he saw, like two girl prostitutes coming out of prison and one of them being very bold and saying, "I'm game for anything," and her sister crying and covering her face and the elder one saying, "Oh, come on, Emily." You know, a tremendously vivid. And then another accounts of things happening in the law courts. There's a sort of early picture of the Artful Dodger, actually, in those early sketches. And he went into prison. He got permission to go in and look at prisons. And at first, he gave these sketches to newspapers who printed them. And then he realised they wanted them. So then he began to sell them. And then a friend said, "Look, you know, you ought to collect these and publish them." And those sketches by Boz, his first book, and a book, a wonderful book.
I want to get to Boz, but I want to start with Parliament, because he was I think only about 19 when to report on Parliament.
Yes.
And in these days, it's slightly hard to imagine now, that the goings on at Parliament were considered almost an entertainment. They were very widely read, weren't they?
They were indeed, and we were running up to the first Reform Bill, so there was a great deal of interest, and also changes to the workhouse system. Dickens had to sit up in this gallery in the old House of Commons, which was very smoky, very poor light, very difficult circumstances, and he became absolutely brilliant because his shorthand was so good and he was so intelligent. And he would also go out of London to report speeches and events out of London.
I have read that even though he was one of the youngest, but he quickly became regarded as the best.
Yes, he did. Yes.
He made a kind of fetish of beating other reporters to get it out quickly.
And he developed a deep dislike of Parliament and of members of Parliament, and which he kept all his life.
So when did he start with the Boz? Because that you've already touched on it. But
In the early 30s, some of them were reporting, but some of them were bits of fiction. He mixed together all sorts of different types of writing.
What did he cover as Boz journalistically, the non-fiction parts?
Well, I've mentioned that he went into Newgate Prison. He got special permission to go and go around the prison and even into the condemned cell and wrote a very powerful piece.
I know that bit where he kind of imagines what it's like to be the condemned person.
Yes. I mean, one of his wonderful essays there is how he describes early morning in London, the poor clerks and apprentices living out in the northern suburbs, and how in the early morning the baker shops opened an hour before the ones in central London, and all these young men, middle-aged men, aging men and girls too, who were going to work in the centre of London, set off. And he says the streets were just absolutely solid with people all walking to work. It's a wonderfully vivid picture. There were no buses or anything. And he's very sweet about them, talking about the least happy ones were the girls who were going to work as apprentices to hat makers and coat makers. I always feel I can actually see what Dickens is describing there.
One of the ways of describing his writing, fiction and non-fiction, is the theatricality of it.
You're right, and it's sometimes not such a good thing, because I think he will fall into rather crude theatrical attitudes sometimes. For instance, in Oliver Twist, Nancy, the prostitute, who is a wonderful character, and Dickens was very, very keen on her and said he drew her from life, but he gave her lines straight out of the cheap theatre, which surely no real prostitute would ever have spoken. And he carries that through all his novels.
But there's also this reporter's distance. So he's in the streets and he's among the people, but you feel that he's not of them in a way.
Yes, he faces himself. He is a silent witness. Yes, he doesn't join in. That's quite true.
The other thing is that you could see he's a novelist before he's a novelist, because when he's writing his non-fiction about the sort of observational writing of people he's seen and scenes he's seen, he doesn't hesitate to kind of use his imagination to go into their perspectives, does he?
Oh, that's right. He's always looking into people. Wonderful piece about the man he observes when he's reading at the British Museum, I think, who has a very, very shabby suit. And one day he comes in and it looks all nice and black and shiny. And I think he then sees him in a cafe. And he sees that he's actually a sort of inked over the worn seams and that the black shininess is disappearing again.
It's not straight reporting in the traditional sense, is it?
No, it isn't. He could do straight reporting. I mean, later on in life, he would go to places in order to do, to report on something happening in a workhouse or report on a shipwreck in Wales. He went out to report on that.
We've been really mostly talking about Boz, and that book is very important, and it leads to the Pickwick Papers, and this turns him into possibly the first celebrity journalist, not a journalist who covers celebrities, but a journalist who is one.
A world celebrity, yes, that's quite true. And, of course, he did aspire to become a newspaper editor himself.
But that didn't work out. Not the Daily News. That didn't work out.
The Daily News. Well, it's a fascinating story because he was worried that he wasn't quite sure what he was going to write next. And Joseph Paxton, who built the Duke of Devonshire's conservatory. Anyhow, they wanted to set up a newspaper which would rival the Times, which would be a liberal rival to the Times, which was very conservative. So this was in 1846. And Dickens thought, that would be good. And Dickens's publishers were going to back it. And they said they would offer him £1,000 a year to be editor. Being Dickens, he thought, that's not enough. I need £2,000 a year.
This was phenomenal money.
It was phenomenal money, yes. Of course, he had a lot of children, a large family. And he immediately sent his uncle, a maternal uncle, off to India to report on India. He appointed his father-in-law, George Hogarth, to be the music critic. And he appointed his own father, who was a torment to him because he was always asking for money and behaving very badly. He appointed him to be in charge of the reporters on the paper.
Like chief of staff.
Well, that sort of thing. And off went John Dickens, and it was a huge success, and it completely transformed his life for him, and he was much loved in Fleet Street. Everyone said, that's Boz's father. And Dickens himself edited the paper for hardly 10 days, and he decided it was completely impossible. He couldn't do it. He hated it. Absolutely not going to go on doing it. So he turned to his best friend, John Forster, and said, you take over. And he just walked out, and he said, I'm going to be a gentleman again.
But he was an editor for a lot of the last 20 years of his life of a weekly publication.
Well, in 1850, a few years later, I mean, he already began to think, as soon as he left the Daily News, he began to think, I could do a weekly magazine.
Mm.
This is the thing about Dickens. He makes one career as a novelist, and then he's not content with that, which was enough for most people to fill their time. He thinks, I'll have a second career, and he did, editing a weekly magazine, which he did from 1850 for the rest of his life, and he called it Household Words, and it sold for twopence, I think, every Wednesday.
But he also did some tough essays on issues that were obviously very dear to him and had been throughout his life poverty.
About poverty, about sanitation, about housing, how children were treated in workhouses, about the ragged schools, yes, all those things, all those causes. Dickens was passionate about education and about how children were treated.
Do you think, we know him as the novelist, of course, but when we think of his journalism, did it make a difference? Because he did bang on and on about the same things.
It's a good question. It certainly aroused public interest. For instance, when he wrote about children's hospitals, helping Great Ormond Street, and then much later visiting a children's hospital set up in the East End. And he wrote very, very well about those. And certainly that did bring attention. It did bring money. It did bring public interest.
The wonderful Claire Tomalin. That's it from me. Thanks to producer Jackie May and sound engineer Michelle Watts. I'm Richard Addy. The news is next on RN.